While you're typing a
seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, we're here for another Sunday, another Wednesday night, and this is the Jim Hockaday, the Abiding Presence. You can email us at theabidingpresence.com. You can go to the contacts page, and you can check in there. Also, we've got a lot of interesting things we've been talking about. We've been talking about sin. We've been talking about God's grace. It's the holiday season, and there's unfortunately a lot more evidence of people who do not really understand God's grace. I mean, it's not about whether it's the holiday season or not. It's just about the way people conduct themselves, and unfortunately, this time of year, that doesn't always occur. And what do you? How do you feel about that, Jim?
Well, yeah. I mean, this time of year, it's interesting. The emotions that run through an individual, and what the holidays present for so many people. And as we made reference to last week, you know, there's many people that are listening in places around the world where they don't have the same holiday as we do. But it's a very interesting time of the year and a great time certainly for us to emphasize how wonderful it is to acknowledge God's grace and give praise and honor to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is going to be a good show. I'm glad everyone's listening. And it's going to be a wonderful time tonight, as we just mentioned some things, as BJ said, along these same lines of grace, God's abiding presence, and learning how to function and operate with God and enjoy our wonderful relationship that we have through Christ. Well, I want to read a verse of Scripture here just to start with, because this is a really good way for us to go here from Romans. And I'm going to make sure that, as we made reference to last week, that I give you the Scripture verses, not just once, but many times, because we want to make sure that you know where we are. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and verse 17. And I love how it speaks here. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And there's a lot of different scriptures that I could read with this or translations. But I want to just thank God tonight, first of all. We've been having some wonderful meetings, healing meetings here in the Bixby-Tulsa area. And this type of scripture right here is something that we've been discussing, and we've been seeing a lot of great things take place with people being changed. There's been a lot of inspiration on the messages that are being preached about God's wonderful grace and His righteousness. And what a wonderful way to empower someone and help them to be able to turn their back on the world by focusing on their relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, this week, there was a really neat time that we had out at the ranch, and I want to use this as a time just to kind of kick some things off here. BJ and I were talking, and as you've already heard BJ say many times, you're missing some of the greatest times of radio that we have when we're at the ranch. He was talking about something, and I love his perspective and how he sees things. And he got up out of the chair and went over to the doorway. and stood in the doorway, half in and half out. And basically, you could say he was standing on the threshold of the door. And he was illustrating how that half in and half out is how most people live their Christian life. They live their Christian life half in the world and half in their relationship with God. And then he did something that was really profound, and I realized that sometimes the simplest things are the things that really mean so much. And that's why I read that verse that talks about, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Someone gets born again by accepting Christ by faith, but we live our life by faith in Christ. And this is what BJ did. In order to acknowledge God fully, he took a step in the house. And when he did, what I saw, and again, if you can picture it, you're straddling the door, straddling not the door, but the threshold of the door, one foot outside the house, one foot inside the house. And when you turn to step and put both feet inside the house, the thing that just was profound to me and yet so simple is he turned his back on the outside of the house, on everything that was, we could say, of the world. And then when he took a step, he was facing completely everything that was in the house. And right there and then is where I just made the comment to him. I said, you know, getting closer to God is where you turn your back on the world. BJ, remember that instance and how wonderful that was? I know it's simple, but to me it was a really good starting point. And I think it will be for everyone that's listening tonight to see how important that the times that we've been talking about the world and how the things that are in the world have a hindrance to our relationship with God, how important that is.
Well, everything is a hindrance. That's why the Bible says there's nothing good of this world. It just doesn't register with people. They think that a sin or that a hindrance is going to be alcoholism or drug abuse or adultery, child abuse, animal cruelty, stealing from their job, lying to their family, some type of, I guess, I don't like this word normal, but unnormal behavior, I guess, or unusual behavior.
Correct.
But it really isn't, because people don't seem to understand who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what to do. If you don't know that if you don't know that you're a dog, you won't bark. If you don't know that you're a bird, you won't know that you fly.
Right.
If you don't know that you're a spirit being, how do you know how to pray?
Yeah.
How do you even know that you're a spirit being?
Right.
Now, that's not saying that you're stupid. That's just saying that you don't have a clue. You don't know that there is an innocent ignorance.
Right.
Because ignorance, the word ignorance doesn't mean stupidity. The word ignorance actually means that you just don't have any working knowledge of a particular subject, place, or thing.
Right.
Stupidity, you just can't fix. It just means you're unable to retain, understand any information of a place, or thing, or subject.
Or subject, right.
But see, there's a type of spiritual ignorance that everyone suffers from, and of one degree or another. And what's really unfortunate is that it's self-induced.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame, quote-unquote, the devil. You can't blame, quote-unquote, negative energy, or quote-unquote, Satan, because he's been defeated. He has
yes.
no power.
Yes.
So then, if your prayers aren't answered, if you feel that you're vacant from a relationship with Christ, then the only responsibility, the only person that you can really hold accountable to that is yourself.
Right.
And that's a very hard pill to swallow.
You know, it is a hard pill to swallow. And this may seem like I'm picking something very small in what you just said. But BJ, when you just said what you did, and I trust everyone, you caught it. I wish we could replay it right now and so that I could use it as an example. But you said this. You said it's self-induced. It's not necessarily the devil or Satan or negative energy and then you said this, because he's defeated, and then you went right on into explaining how that people make those choices themselves.
The other day I was talking to my neighbor, and he said, "I don't know how you learned how to walk." And he says, I don't know how you got back in physical shape. And he says, I don't know how you're doing all these things. And I says, well, I wanted to do it. I just did it. And he said, well, he says, you know, he says, I weigh 80 pounds more than I did when I graduated college. And I said, so you've gained 80 pounds in, he's, you know, like 20 something years, don't matter. But I said, you've gained 80 pounds in like 20 something years. And he says, I don't know how I did it. And I said, well, I do. And he says, what do you mean? And I says, I never, ever see you. I never see you in a tractor, in your pickup truck, in your house, in your barn, or even on your four-wheeler. I've never seen you without a can of Pepsi and a bag of potato chips.
Okay.
And I says, how many times have you seen me eat or drink? And I says, think about this. And I says, how long have we been neighbors? And he says, well, I see you drink water out of a cattle tank. And he says, but I've never seen you eat anything. And I says, how many times have I been in your house and you guys have like cookies and cake and bowls of homemade popcorn just sitting around on coffee tables and in your house? And he says, and you offer it. And what do I say? And he says, no, you always say your hands are dirty. And I says, well, they are. And I says, but I always say, no, thank you. And he says, why do you say that? And he says, because I'm not hungry. I says, the difference between me and you, why you're 80 pounds overweight and I'm not, is I eat what I burn. You store what you eat.
Yeah.
I says, you're like a bear in a salmon stream that's tanking up on salmon all year long. And I says, you're in perpetual hibernation. And he sits there, well, now, what does this have to do with this radio show? It has to do a lot with it.
Yeah.
If you're praying and your prayers aren't being answered and they're not working and you're sitting in a building or a church and you don't know which one of those it is, and when you leave, you don't really feel any different than when you woke up on a Sunday morning and got all dressed up and went to the place, and you've been doing this for years, hello?
Right.
You've got to sit down in a chair and feel really, really bad. And maybe cry and say, I'm missing it. This is about me. This isn't about God. This isn't about the devil. This is about me. I am not participating.
Right.
This is basically a spiritual couch potato.
Well, then this is the point that I was actually wanting. Where,
and this is backed up somewhere, right?
Yeah. And this is the point that I wanted to make when I was bringing that up about how you said what you said when you made reference to the devil. And that was the tone of voice and the way that you said it so quickly dismissed Satan from being an issue.
Well, he's not.
Well, I know. But my point is, to the listeners, right there and then, religion would have had a hard time with that, would have made it, well, yes, the devil is involved in this. He's doing all these things. He's making all these suggestions. Well, he's only making suggestions based on all the desires and things that we're actually making decisions about. He's not the issue. And so quickly, you stopped him from being an issue and put responsibility. In fact, we talked a couple of weeks ago, probably 3 weeks ago, about spiritual responsibility and how that there is a responsibility with spirit.
Yes.
And that comes
Wouldn't you?
Yes, and that comes from people not knowing who they really are, your original comment.
Someone asked me they says, well, I don't really think it makes sense that there's a spiritual responsibility. And I says, okay. I says, let me ask you some questions. And I says, okay. I says, they're not trick questions. And I said, does God have commitments to meet? And they said, yes, he does. And I says, is God a responsible person? Yes. Does God hold himself accountable to a lot of things that are limitless and boundless? And they said, yes, he does. And I said, so in other words, God has a certain responsibility, a certain mark that he has to meet. He has to toe the line. And they says, well, yeah, he does, because he's God.
Because he's God.
And I said, okay, then why did he say you will do greater works than me? How are we supposed to do those greater works if we're not made in his image?
Right.
So then obviously we have commitments.
Right.
We have responsibilities. There is a mark that we're supposed to toe, and it's called spiritual responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, why don't we have that? And I said, you know, I says, did you ever play football? And he says, yeah, I did. And I says, okay, other than looking at him and wanting to kiss him and make out with him and date him, I said, how important were the cheerleaders to the football game? I said, could you even hear the cheers? And he says, no. And I said, if they said, go team, go, did you really go any faster?
Uh-huh.
You know, and if they said, score big, tackle them and all that. And he says, no. And I said, so in other words, the cheerleaders are there. They're part of the game, but they really can't influence the game at all in any shape or form. And he says, no. And I said, so in other words, cheerleaders don't count. And he says, no, cheerleaders don't count. And I said, so that's what the devil is to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And he's saying, go.
Most.
He's saying,
yep.
Feel bad. Go feel bad.
Yeah.
Okay, lie. Do this. Do this. Yeah, that's a great idea. Go with it. Go with it. That's all he is an unnatural, an unspiritual, everything of this world cheerleader. Because he has no power.
Right.
He has no tangibility.
No.
So he is just a cheerleader.
Yeah, if he has
He's just
no,
a bad one.
If there's no truth in him, BJ, then right away we understand the part of his being that we've given him credit for, which is if there's no truth in him, he's not a creator. What he does is he takes the truth of God and does what? He twists it.
He's not a
Or he perverts it.
He's not a destroyer.
No.
He's not a creator. He's a deceiver.
He's a deceiver. Correct.
The greatest thing that the devil ever has done has made most of mankind think that he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because if you don't acknowledge the existence of negative energy, then it is literally impossible to recognize spiritual energy.
Uh-huh.
It's like a battery. The positive post is Christ. The negative post is negative energy or Satan. You have to have both, because how can you appreciate one, turn towards one, act like one, if you don't recognize the other as being negative?
And that goes back to standing in the doorway of your house.
Because if you don't know that there's a tomorrow, and you don't understand that there was a yesterday, then that means that you can have no conception of what? Today.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Simple, but it's not easy.
Right.
Because what it means is that you've got to sit down in a chair in your home in a quiet room with possibly a Bible on your lap and tears running down your face saying, I get it. I've been wrong, but I'm not going to be wrong anymore, because it's really a good thing, because that's what it means all sins were forgiven.
Right, right.
Your sin wasn't murder. Your sin wasn't adultery. Your sin was not getting it.
Right.
Spiritual laziness.
Yeah.
How do you back this up?
Yeah, well, here's a point I want to make to back this up, and that is we talked about this as well. Let's take somebody that maybe is an alcoholic or someone that's strung out on drugs. And when do they actually have a break in their life or that moment where it's possible for them to start coming upstream instead of going down the wrong way? It's when they hit rock bottom, isn't it? When they get to the place of they can't take it any longer, that's when actual hope and change is inevitable.
When someone has an alcohol problem or a drug problem or an eating disorder, or they have a problem with cigarettes or whatever, it really doesn't matter. Road rage, it stealing things from store, they just have a habit that just really doesn't help them. It doesn't do their character any good, and it doesn't give them any type of positive thing
right.
at all.
Right.
Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. Whenever somebody has something like that and someone calls it to their attention, they immediately become defensive. And the reason they become defensive is because either it hasn't adversely affected them enough to
right.
be considered to be a problem.
Right.
Or even if it is a problem, they're learning to live with it.
Okay. They've compromised.
I mean, if you have an eating disorder, it is a lot easier to keep buying bigger clothes than it is to be concerned about your physical shape and well-being. It is. It's easier.
Right, right.
Because
if your clothes become tight, then it's a reminder that you've eaten too much and that you have to slow down eating. But if you go one size bigger of jeans, of a pair of Wranglers, well, then you can eat even more because now they're baggy and you have room to grow.
Right. It gives you a little extra time, doesn't
okay.
it?
Okay, yes. It's the same with your spirit. It's a lot easier to become more spiritual lazy and to deny your spiritual responsibility than it is to just make a dead stop against a brick wall and say, enough is enough.
Correct.
Because you have a certain accountability and you have a certain amount of awareness that really leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Right. Right.
Because it's easier to just keep your back turned towards the world. Because as long as your back is turned to the world, you don't even know that you have a spirit. It's like the outside of an egg being concerned with a yolk and the yolk being concerned with the outside of an egg. They have nothing to do with each other. The spirit is encapsulated in our body, and the body is of this world, and our spirit isn't. Our body literally cannot affect our spirit other than just distractions.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like a yolk being concerned with how much chicken stuff and how much dirt is on the outside of the shell.
Right, doesn't make sense.
No, because it isn't even his world.
Right. Right.
The egg is solid, the egg is dirty, the egg is exposed to things that the yolk never is exposed to.
Right.
And the yolk is protected from it. And the two are literally together, but they're not. And it's like your spirit being inside you. Okay, now back this up.
Yeah, well, Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Pharisees, and they were having conversation, and Nicodemus said, no one can do these wonderful things that you do unless God is with him, the things that they're doing, the signs and the wonders. And Jesus said, I say unto you, you must be born again. And so immediately Jesus says, all right, if you're going to talk about the signs and wonders and the miracles and relate that to God, then we need to talk about something, and that is talk about the Spirit. Nicodemus said, well, how can someone do that? They can't get back into their mother's womb the second time. And what's Nicodemus talking about? He's talking about the flesh. He's talking about an unnatural world. And Jesus comes back and then makes this comment in verse 6. It says that, and this is John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Later, Jesus goes down to make this observation. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And Jesus makes an amazing separation. It's the same separation that Paul makes. See if this doesn't sound exactly the same here, where we come over to, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what's Paul doing? He's doing the same thing as what Jesus did. He's making the separation between the spirit and the flesh, this world and the spirit world. And we must acknowledge, and what we're hearing tonight, and the think comments BJ's making, and some of the direction that we're going, is bringing us right back to a real simple truth, and that is, you are a spiritual being, made in the image and in the likeness of God, and God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. You have to engage your spirit in life if you want to be successful. To live out of the fleshly realm, and Jesus even made reference to it. He said, you don't understand, Nicodemus. You're talking about spiritual things, but you don't understand the spirit realm. So are you trying to say, Jim, that there is a dimension of the spirit? And then to that, I would say there's a dimension of the spirit. There's a whole world of the spirit. And that is exactly the place where we live. For us to think that I live down on a certain street with a house number in a certain town, in a certain state, in a particular country, and in a continent, and in this world, if that's our thought of life, then you've diminished your life down to something that is temporal, and temporal means something that is subject to change. And immediately you put yourself behind the eight ball because now you're struggling for answers based on the flesh. But we have so much record in the scriptures from Jesus and the Apostle Paul, who wrote so many wonderful epistles to the church, where there's encouragement for us to lay aside or put off the old man. The old man is what? The flesh. Be renewed in the attitude or the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. And what does that sound like? It sounds exactly like the illustration that BJ gave me this week at the ranch, where he stood half and half in the doorway, in the threshold of the door. He's got one foot in the flesh and one foot in the spirit. And then he took another step into the house, which means he turned his back on the world. Man, Jesus made some real amazing statements. I'm going to read those to you, and then BJ, I think you'll like to comment about this because it's right down the line of really many of our shows.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll see if you do.
I just thought we needed to lighten things up for a
second.
That's
good. I appreciate that. John 15, verse 18. Notice what Jesus said. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If they had not come and spoken to them, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. All right, just some very simple things, but Jesus makes a great separation, doesn't he, between that which is of the world and that which is of Christ, or that which is of the spirit world. And he makes this separation by helping us to see that everything about the world is going to be contrary to your spirit. And this is a great place for us to continue week after week to build your conscience, so that you can actually throughout the course of your day be more spiritually astute and aware of your own spirit and the presence of God than this world. That's turning your back on the world.
It is. And think of it this way. Think of that you have two sets of train tracks. And one train track is this world, and one train track is the spirit world. The farther that you travel and the more time that you spend on a particular track, the more difficult it is to switch tracks and the more focused you are on the direction that you're going.
Okay, that's good.
Now, the reason that sounds ominous, but think of it this way. The more time that you spend thinking about God, the more time you start thinking about the spirit world, the more that you realize that there's so much of this world that is wrong and is and really just a distraction that keeps your spirit from being with Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden you start to take these little steps on another direction. And the reason that most things that help you stop bad habits are 30, 60, and 90 days long is because whenever you change something and you want to keep it changed, it's done in very slow steps, and it's a progression. Well, there's a spiritual progression as well that you can go through. You don't have to just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm not going to sin anymore, and I'm going to change my entire life. I promise you, you will fail.
Yeah, that's right.
You will fail by dinner time.
Yeah.
And by supper time, you will be a bigger sinner than you were yesterday out of sheer frustration and fear. But what you do is every morning when you wake up, you have one thought and you say, you know, today I am anything to do with money, I'm going to do it honestly. Whatever it is. If I get a dollar too much, it's going back to the person who gave me a dollar too much. If I don't have enough money for coffee and a donut, so be it. I will just have coffee, and I'll leave that box of donuts alone at work, and I won't take one without paying. Today is let's be upfront and above board with money. And then tomorrow you say, you know, yesterday was money. Today, I think I'm going to try to focus on not caring what other people are doing wrong. Because just because I'm doing it right and just because they're doing it wrong doesn't mean I should waste my time being upset about it.
Good.
And every day you just take one small thing that you know isn't in your spiritual best interests. And before you know it, an entire week has gone by. And then 2 weeks has gone by. And then 3 weeks has gone by. And all of a sudden one evening you're brushing your teeth before you go to bed, or whatever you do before you go to bed, and it dawns on you that you don't even set goals anymore. It isn't about money. It's not about donuts. It's not about this. You're just living your life completely differently. And what that is the attraction to God, that's God's grace. God's grace isn't saving a bus full of kids from going off of a bridge. God's grace is allowing you to make a slight adjustment every day that turns into a spiritual addiction and an enlightenment that allows your spirit to be free and to soar with Jesus.
Yeah, that's so good.
The Holy Spirit's job is not to keep your house from being struck by lightning. The Holy Spirit would much rather spend his time just getting you to enjoy your day.
Yeah, which is a very interesting thought that you just made, because isn't it interesting that we can focus, and this is something that came out when we were at the ranch, I thought it was just really good. We can focus on God and in a sense almost over-focus, try so hard to have God in our life that we don't enjoy him because he is in our life. And here's an interesting thought, folks, and I'm not taking a side journey at all, but it'll certainly fit right into what we're talking about. In the gospel messages there, the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you look at Jesus and the way that he approaches people, he's talking to an unregenerate people, you know, people that were not born again of the Spirit. They had an old covenant with God. The Jewish people, and Jesus is always encouraging individuals to have faith or to believe for something that they didn't possess. But when you come over into the New Covenant, you find Paul the Apostle, and when he talks to the believer, the man who was born again, he doesn't encourage him so much to believe as it is to use what he has. And that's such an important part to what we're talking about here, because we miss out on the wonderful blessing of using what God has given us by trying to focus so much to try to get it. And we can actually lose our way with focusing so much on God, I want you so badly in my life. And what we're almost saying by focusing like that is we're saying we're focusing more on him not being in our life, when the truth of the matter is he's there all along. God and his blessings, everything that he's done to enhance your spirit, to enjoy this life, and to be productive spiritually, helping other people, helping your family, walking in the spirit, seeing healings, seeing all kinds of disease leave people's bodies, miracles, things that we've made terminology over, the supernatural, which is just a natural experience. All these things God wants us to enjoy, not just covet, not just long for, but actually participate in. It's a real interesting thought that we can almost, to the point, miss the use of something that's right before us while we're trying to get it. Isn't that religious?
Well, it is. And I mean, it sounds really crazy, but if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm in the horse business. And I've said for years, I don't like people. I don't care for people. The best time of my life is when I'm alone in my barn, in the alleyway in my barn, spending time with horses. And what's interesting about horses, and it applies to dogs and cats and just about everything, and they don't have any malice. They don't have a hidden agenda. Animals don't. And what's interesting is we are so similar to them. We're mammals. We breed the same. We eat the same. We sleep the same. The requirements are the same. Matter of fact, most drugs that are used on cats and dogs and horses and even cattle and pigs are manufactured by the same drug companies that the drugs you take, penicillin, antihistamines, antacids for your stomach, things to cure illnesses and diseases, even serious things like cancer. They're the same drugs.
Hmm.
Now, knowing that animals do not have agendas,
okay.
Knowing that animals do not have rage, because most of the time when animals are angry, it's fear-based. It's not because you've made them mad. It's because you've really scared the bejesus out of them.
Okay.
And if we're supposed to have dominion over them and take care of them and manage them and respect them, then why can't we do that for each other? Why is it so vacant for us to have so much anger and malice towards other people? And then at the same time, we don't even care enough about ourselves to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt that all sins have been forgiven, and that you can just take a sigh of relief and take a big breath and say, yeah, I've done things wrong. I'm just going to try really hard not to do it anymore. And I want to focus on being a spirit being and not a human being.
Yeah.
Think about those two words. They're both beings. There yeah. is a human being and there is a spirit being.
Right.
And they're both encapsulated together.
That's correct.
But yet it's amazing how under our own power, under our own manifestation, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with negative energy, otherwise known as the devil and Satan, because I just think he's negative energy. I don't even give him credit to say his name.
Right.
Well, if it has nothing to do with them, then exactly whose responsibility is this?
Yeah, it's
who's,
us.
Who's to blame? I mean, yeah. Doesn't that come to where when you look in the mirror and you got to look away, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. But at the same time, it can be a very wonderful, positive thing.
Oh, the power of choice, being able to turn
because
our back on the world is an amazing thing.
Because you can literally just say, you know what? There is a God. Jesus is around, and the Holy Spirit is with me at every given moment of the day and
yes.
the night.
Yes.
So if they're there, I don't have to feel alone.
No.
And if I'm not alone, and they are there, and I'm made in their image, what type of motivation is that to say, for lack of a better way to put it, just to shorten us up, to do the right thing?
Right. Right.
Because what's real interesting is if you could see Jesus the way you see a red light at an intersection, I promise you, you would say and do things differently.
Sure, sure. In fact, the word says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And then in his light, we see light. So if you'll begin to see it from that perspective, the more you see God, the more real God becomes to you. The more light and tangibility you see of the spirit realm, and immediately things that may have looked good to you all of a sudden don't look so good at all. It's kind of like eating something at a restaurant, and you go to use the restroom, and while you're going to use the restroom, you walk by the kitchen, and you happen to see some individuals, you know, that are cooking the food, and maybe they've got their hands, you know, in something that's dirty and they don't wash them, or they don't have those little gloves on. And then all of a sudden you think about your food that tasted, you thought so good. And all of a sudden it's not so good anymore.
Well, that's why I don't eat fast food.
That's good.
Because it's not just unhealthy for you, you know.
Right, right. It's not good. Well,
when somebody is handling money, which is the dirtiest thing in the world.
Right.
And they're making your sandwich.
Right.
And there's no soap and water or surgical gloves in the construction of the sandwich. Yeah, I think I'd rather just chew my fingernails.
Yeah, well, that'd be a good day maybe to go without eating, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've dropped a potato chip everywhere on the ranch and picked it up and eaten it. I would not even pick a potato chip up in the parking lot of a Walmart and eat it. You know why? Because it's all natural out there. The farther you get away what's natural, the harder it is to think. Think about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds funny to talk about a potato chip in a fast food restaurant, but how unnatural are those? Think of a comparison between a home-cooked meal at grandma's house and a fast food restaurant.
Right, there's no comparison.
Okay, so then why, if there's no comparison there, then why is there not a dismissal between the spirit and this world?
Yeah. Well, and question to be answered is because most people don't recognize they're a spirit.
How can they do that? You're the expert. I'm just like, I'm just along for the ride. I really, you know.
Well, here's a wonderful scripture over in 1 Corinthians 3:19 and 20.
Why are you laughing?
That's a good comment you made. It's kind of interesting.
We'll say that again, because what did I tell you about just rattling off all these numbers and pages and not giving people a chance?
I'm actually going to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in this one here is in verse 16. Paul says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So what is God trying to say there through the Apostle Paul? Encouragement that your body is the temple where your spirit and where God lives. And then over in 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 19 and 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your spirit or your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? For you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Well, look at what he did. He recognizes there your body, your spirit, and God. And he says you need to recognize that your body is just a temple. It's the house. It's the place where your spirit abides, and it's the place where God abides. Well, if we'll back up just a little bit, we can see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Well, one translation would seem to indicate that you're one spiritual being. That's like taking the soft serve ice cream that you get out of the big containers, and they serve you vanilla, and then they've got a chocolate. And lo and behold, one day they advertise, "We've got a twist." Well, what's a twist? That's where they take the chocolate and the vanilla and twist them together, and you've got a great ice cream cone with both of them mixed together.
Yeah, it's $7,500 for a machine, and it takes a 220 plug, and it's
come on, you know this.
It's $24 a gallon for the mix. Are you kidding me?
Have you been how looking at Craigslist?
Yeah. No, this okay. How many times have I sent you an email from Craigslist showing you?
I can't even begin to tell you.
Okay,
folks.
Here's
the
what
guy
he's talk-
sends me emails with
from Craigslist
with, from Craigslist with ice cream machines on it, like I'm gonna buy one.
Well, then okay. How stupid was your question then? If you can't even count how many times I've sent you emails from Craigslist showing soft serve ice cream machines and how much they are, new ones and used ones, then why would you ask, how would I know the price?
Well, that's true too. Good point.
Well, yeah, okay, you're off topic. Get back on there, what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, I've got to get to my scripture here. That's where I do the best.
All right.
1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 and 20 again, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So where we were before we got into our, actually it's a good discussion, but anyhow, if you want to know how to hook up a ice cream machine or where to buy one, I guarantee you can email us here at theabidingpresence.com and BJ can certainly send you an email because he has sent some to me and they are good machines.
No, if I don't get my own self-serve ice cream machine, I'm not going to help somebody else. No, absolutely not.
So here in verse 17 it says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." And so my point in all that is God and has taken the Holy Spirit and our spirit and intertwined them together, brought us into union with Christ. And that is one of the greatest mysteries of the whole gospel, of the whole Bible, that Christ could be in you. And, of course, that's over in Colossians 1:27. The great mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's he talking about there? He's talking about a twist ice cream cone. He's talking about the chocolate and the vanilla mixed together. Well, what are we saying this for? Because BJ asked the question, how come people are struggling so much, you know, with this whole idea of their body versus their spirit? Because most people don't know that they are a spiritual being. And when you do recognize that you're a spiritual being, immediately you have the ability to dismiss the world of the flesh. In fact, there's some scripture here that if you just wait for a second, I want to get it right. In fact, I've got it right now. It's in Galatians and chapter 6. Actually, I'm going to read Galatians 5, and it starts out this way in verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, think about this. We were just talking about turning our back on the world, walking into the house, and beginning to see our life through Jesus Christ, identifying with what He did for us. What's that called, Jim? That's simply called walking in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to acknowledge every good grace and good thing that God has done for you. In fact, Philemon verse 6 says that your faith will become effectual, hit the bullseye, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. What are you doing when you acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ? Remember, we've said this before, God loves math. What happens when you acknowledge every good thing in Christ? You are pulling yourself away by a multiplication table from the things of the world. To acknowledge God's grace in Christ is to step yourself away from acknowledging things that are of the flesh, that are of this world. Remember, we've said before how the Song of Solomon talks about that the vine is spoiled by the little foxes. Well, if the little foxes can spoil the vine, then it's the step by step, what BJ was talking about. You wake up in the morning and you just acknowledge one simple thought in Christ. Father, I thank you that you have given unto me spiritual enlightenment today, and my mind is quickened and made alive, and it's sharp. And begin to meditate on that. And what are you doing? You are beginning to walk in the Spirit. You're acknowledging spiritual truth. This goes back to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, man, you're doing all these incredible things. And what's Jesus really saying to him when he said you must be born again? He's saying, Nicodemus, it's because I'm doing these things out of the spiritual realm. I'm operating in spiritual authority and dominion, and as a result of it, things on the earth are changing. So Nicodemus said, I don't understand it. How can you get into your mother's womb? How can you be born twice? And Jesus went on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. I trust you're understanding this tonight because it really is simple. And yet, because we don't acknowledge it like we ought to, it becomes for many people a brand new concept. For others, it becomes something we say, oh yeah, I remember hearing that once. Well, folks, this is the type of thinking, this is the type of mind renewal that needs to happen in your life, like maybe 24/7, all the time. Just to, in a very simple and fresh way, acknowledge God and everything that is of your spirit because you are one with Him. In doing so, what do? You devalue everything that is of this world. We've said so many things concerning this world just to help everyone to see how important it is to give our allegiance to God. Our example tonight was a great example, and this came at the ranch this week. BJ made the observation. He said, hey, listen, it's like being a yoke. The yoke is like your spirit, and that's the part of you that's on the inside. Why would you need to be concerned with the shell if you're functioning as a yoke on the inside? Wouldn't you have confidence that your Father, the Father of yokes, would take care of the shell if the shell is doing its proper thing? In other words, wouldn't you have confidence that if your heart was in fellowship with God and you were acknowledging simply God's grace, beginning to identify your life with Christ, that God's ability would spiritually overwhelm you, take care of you, begin to lead you in promises, blessings, and the goodness of God? Folks, there's a higher way to live than struggling in the flesh. BJ, I want to bring you back in right here, because that point, I want you to elaborate on. It seems like God always gives you some really great illustrations, but there's a higher way to live than struggling through life in the flesh, trying so hard to make something work, versus, like we talked this week, a spiritual resolve that'll come over you
yeah.
when you're not focused on things of the world.
Yeah, we normally would be ending the show in about a limit and in about 11 minutes, but we're not. We're gonna the show's gonna be about 10 minutes longer than it normally is. There's a I want to read this to you because it goes exactly to what we're talking about. Her name is Lola, and that's her name, L-O-L-A. Okay. That was a good song, by the way. I like that song. I like rock and roll. It's great to bale hay to rock and roll in the tractor while I'm baling hay. Hello, Brother Jim and BJ. How wonderful it is to know about this radio show after Brother Jim came to Manchester, England. I have been listening and really enjoying it. Just listening again to both of you talking about Thanksgiving, blessing to you, continue. I will tell my friends at work next week about the show. I just cannot explain the words. There is peace and love listening to you both. I thank the Lord for you both. Lola, Manchester, England. Okay, it's not so much about the compliment. I want to pick apart what she said here.
Okay.
Because it goes to exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
This is what she says. She's talking about the radio show and how good it is to find it. But see, the point, let's pick this apart. It's really not about the show. It's about the message that the show conveys.
Correct.
I mean, it's kind of like it's kind of like you're praising the dinner plate, but it's not about the plate that the food's on.
No.
It's the food.
It's the food, sure.
And the radio show is the plate, and God's word is the food.
Yes.
Okay, the next thing I want to pick apart about her sentence here is that she's really enjoying listening to it, just listening again to both of you. She says that she enjoys listening to it and she listens to it again. What that means is that she's hungry for that particular
yes.
type of meal.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's a spiritual meal.
Uh-huh.
So once again, it's not about the show. It's not about the plate. It's about what's being served.
Right.
And then she goes on to say how she wants to tell all of her friends at work to listen to next week's show.
Okay.
There's your testifying.
Sure.
There's your testimony.
That's good.
That's how simple this is.
Yes.
Okay, then to go on, the last part of this, to chew this down finer, I just cannot explain with words, there is a peace and love listening to you both.
Okay.
Now, for you people that just are listening to this show the first time, by the way, thank you very much.
Yes.
But about 4 weeks ago, we had a big two-week show, and we'll do it again in about a month or two after the first of the year, about words. And how words really don't mean anything. It's about the meaning behind the words. Because words are of this world and God's message is of the spirit world. And she just explained this right here. I just cannot explain with words. There is peace and love listening to you. That's the grace of God right
yes.
there.
Yes.
Because you can't explain grace. You don't have to explain grace. You don't have to carry it around, and you don't have to point and say, look, 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 there's God's grace. Because it's literally like putting your hand in the air and saying, there's an air molecule, there's oxygen. Well, there's oxygen over there. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
We've even written a letter about it.
Yes. So there's your focus on something that you're supposed to use.
Tie this in and make Lola in Manchester, England smile because, well, I mean, I just literally, okay, I just dissected three sentences
yeah.
into a wonderful message. And basically it is that she's getting it.
Yes.
And she's found grace.
Yes.
And she can't explain it.
Yes.
But she wants to pass it along.
Right.
I don't know how what else to do.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus made reference to the hungry and the thirsty that'll be filled. What do you think you'll be filled with? God's grace, God's love, all these attributes of God that come because of his grace? Yeah, this is a great testimony here that helps you to see how simple all of this is. And by waking up to acknowledge it, you begin to participate in it. Isn't it interesting? This was really funny this week. Out at the ranch, another illustration that BJ gave. In fact, yesterday we were talking about some things, and he just grabbed a pillow. And when he grabbed the pillow, he began to hug the pillow and say, oh, I just want God in my life. I'm just so hungry for God. I just want God in my life. Oh, and then he said, but here's the thing. How long are you going to do that before you put the pillow down and use it for what it's supposed to be used for? In other words, over-focusing on something can almost diminish the fact that you actually have it. Folks, We want more of God in our life. Oh, okay. Well, that's a hunger statement. But here's the truth. You've got God in His fullness in your life. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, God is in your life. Now it's time for us to use it. It's just like saying, like we started saying here with the Apostle Paul, the difference in the New Covenant. Paul didn't try to encourage people to believe something. Paul just kept on telling them what they had. Why? If you tell people what they have and they're not aware that they have it, the moment that they know it's there, they can do what? They can use it. Hey, Johnny, turn around. In the top drawer, there's a $10 bill. Johnny says, in the bottom drawer? No, Johnny, turn around. Wrong dresser. Now turn around. Right behind you? No. The dresser behind you, Johnny. Okay, that's the right dresser. Now go to the top drawer. No, not the right top drawer, the left top drawer. Okay, now you've got it. Pull it open and look right behind that sock. There should be a $10 bill. Johnny says, I see it. There's the $10 bill. Well, now he can use it to go get his ice cream that has both vanilla and chocolate in it. That's just for fun, folks, okay? But the point is, if you're showing people what they have, then they can use it. Lola, by listening to the show, she's being directed to things that she has. She's understanding how to not put value on the world, which does what? It only increases her hunger and desire to put all of her value on Christ. And what happens when you do that? The grace of God kicks in. It just goes to work. Like BJ said, it's like breathing air. I mean, if you need to run a race, my wife ran a half marathon just a couple weeks ago. She was breathing a whole lot more air than I was. Well, guess what? Isn't it awesome that there was plenty of air for her to breathe? That's a great thought. Amen? Well, there is plenty of grace in every area of your life. And just like Lola, she's listening to the show, and what begins to happen? Just a wonderful sense of God's grace, of God's peace, of God's love. Today, BJ, when I was getting on the on-ramp, and I had this, there's a couple of places that if I go get a latte, which I don't drink coffee really, but when they douse it with a lot of milk and a little flavor, it kind of helps it, you know, for me to be able to drink it. And it was a really good latte. It was a chai tea latte. And I'm in my car. I realized, you know, you don't drink that. But anyhow, it was good, nice and hot. I'm in my car, and I went to grab for it. And when I did, I grabbed too close to the top of the container and squeezed it. And when I pulled it up to my mouth, I mean, half of it dumped over on my lap and all over the car. Okay, well, I'm making, you know, one of those half of a circle loops, right, to get onto the highway.
Yeah.
And just as I'm doing that, I mean, I'm ready to focus on my car and all this spill on me. Just as I'm doing that, I hear this on the inside. Pay attention to your driving. And so with one hand on the wheel, holding my cup in my hand because it's hot coffee all over my leg, I just focused on where I was, got onto the highway, was able to put the coffee cup down, grab a couple of Kleenex that I had with me, and just begin to dab my leg and the console a little bit. But what is that? That's simply the grace of God. Folks, God wants you to experience every good thing which is in Him. He wants you to experience this love and joy and peace. And He wants us to experience His grace all day long.
People are so worried about going to heaven. People are so concerned about praying. People are so concerned about whether they're a good Christian or not. People are so worried about what other people think of their spiritual/religious beliefs that they never get to enjoy them.
Yes.
I mean, it's like spending an entire summer watering, weeding, hoeing, cultivating a massive garden.
Yes.
And worrying about every hot summer day, worrying about every high wind and thunderstorm that comes along, and you're concerned about a tornado, and you're worried about all of the vegetables in that garden, and it consumes you, and you spend every day in that garden, and the garden is gorgeous. And then you never, ever, ever harvest it or eat it.
Yeah.
It's like you go through all this toil and trouble and labor, and you never even have a salad or a meal. Not one cherry tomato, not one ear of corn, not even a handful of raspberries, not even one bite of cool watermelon. And you don't even smell a fresh cantaloupe. It just goes unnoticed. No sliced cucumbers. It's just all gone. And people will say, I can't wait till next spring. They get so tied up worrying about being religious and about being a Christian that they never enjoy it.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that that is a distraction in itself.
Yes, very much so.
If you're so busy trying to be a Christian, you're not. You're not one. If you're too worried about losing your job, I promise you, you're not doing your job.
Right, right.
If you're really worried about whether you're going to go to heaven or hell, whether your prayers are going to be answered, I promise you, guess what? You're not going to heaven, and your prayers will never be answered. Why? Because you're focused on things of this world.
Yeah, anything that you're afraid to lose, you will.
Back this up.
Well, over here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Well, first of all, I'm going to back up, because when I read that, what jumps out at you? Be anxious for everything except three or four things a day. Be anxious for, no, folks, this is absolute. I mean, when statements like this are being made, it's possible for us to actually live this way. Jesus made reference to it many times when he would say things like, listen, the birds are fed and the flowers, they're clothed. So if God cares about you a whole lot more than just the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, why would you worry about this? Why take a thought? Which means you don't have to take a thought. It's up to you. And so when Paul says here, be anxious for nothing, folks, literally, what would life be like if you didn't have any anxiety? Think about that. Instantly, you would understand the peace of God. If there were no anxiety in you, your focus could easily be on the spirit realm, on God's presence, on an awareness of his joy, on an awareness or in an awareness of his power. There wouldn't be such a great concern if there were no anxiety. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Well, then what are you going to give me instead of being anxious for nothing? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Wow. Look at what Paul's saying here. The whole idea of thanksgiving. Folks, listen, if I'm going to be thankful to somebody, and what do we tell our children when we're getting them to say thank you? Come on, this is real simple. If I've got my girls and I'm trying to teach them about being thankful, and someone has just invited us over, I'm going to tell them, now say thank you for inviting us over. And if they look at the doorway and they ignore the person and say, thank you for having me over, what are you going to do as a parent? No. Honey, turn around. I want you to look right at her and tell her thank you. Listen, if thanksgiving is something that shows focus, and our focus and concern is on God, and as we give thanks to God, look at what begins to happen. It's the cure for you not having anxiety. There's no need to have anxiety when you have thanksgiving in your heart or when you acknowledge how big God is. And it goes on to say, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Wow, look at what we just got through saying. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Well, that ought to sum it up right there. What are you talking about? It's the understanding of our mind that needs to see the peace of God. Folks, it's so interesting, but with your mind not being renewed to your spiritual awareness that you are a spirit, you'll live in this most unnatural world as though it's normal, and you'll participate in a world that will lead you astray. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. It's not about being a good person, a bad person. It's about whether or not you've engaged your heart with God, the Father of all spirits. And if you haven't through Jesus Christ, then there is an existence for you and an experience for you that is so marvelous and so wonderful. In fact, I'd like to take just a moment and actually pray for folks out there that may be listening. And this prayer is for any of you that have tuned in. Maybe someone's encouraged you. I sure hope that they have. To tune in to our show and listen to us help you to have a relationship with God. In fact, the show is called The Abiding Presence, and you can find it on www.theabidingpresence.com. And this prayer goes out to you. I want you to know that you can find God. And you might be saying to yourself, man, I've heard a lot of wonderful things tonight. I want to make sure that I have a relationship with God. Can you help me with that? Well, I want you to bow your head for just a moment and just say this with me. And I'm just having you bow your head and close your eyes so that you can focus. Forget about everything that's around you and just make this simple prayer. Almighty God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He is the answer for this world, certainly the answer for my heart. I know that He died on the cross, and I know that He rose again as the Scriptures tell us. I choose to believe in that today, and I call upon His name, and I confess Him as my Lord and as my Savior. This moment, I acknowledge and accept salvation from Jesus Christ. And if that's you, my friend, then you can be very confident that if you've called upon the name of the Lord, just like Paul said in Romans chapter 10, if you've called upon the name of the Lord, that you're saved right now. What does that mean? God's made a change in your heart. Your spirit is in fellowship with God simply by acknowledging the work that Jesus did for you. What's that called? That's called God's grace. God did something for you so enormous that He brought you salvation. He didn't have to go get it. It was already there. But by simply acknowledging Jesus as Lord, you just experienced your spirit being born again. Now you know what Jesus is talking about. Inside your heart, there's a wonderful sense of God's presence because He's there. And now you can begin to experience His grace all day long. What a joy it is. BJ, what a joy it is to be able to fellowship over some of these thoughts and know that there may be someone out there that just entered into a relationship with God. Just that simple.
You know, if there is, or if the show has affected you in a positive way or even in a negative way, I would really like to encourage them to email the show. You're on the website to listen to the show. You can go to the Contact Us page and you can send us an email. I read all the emails, pass along the gem, and just make sure you say, please don't read this on the air. This is just for you and Jim. I went to the post office tonight. There wasn't one single letter in the mailbox.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, I know, but emails and stuff, you know, I don't think people send letters anymore. But in case you do, we have a P.O. box and I check it once a week. Just tell us what things are happening in your life that are positive from the show. Remember, the show is the serving platter. The real meal, the real value of the show is not the show. It isn't Jim. It isn't myself. It's God's message, which is the meal.
Yes.
Which is the food for your soul, for your spirit.
Yeah.
The energy that you need.
Yes.
We're just passing it along. I hope that you don't give us distinction than that.
Yeah.
Because then I think we would be wouldn't be doing our job.
No.
Well, not our job, but I think they get it. But I mean, yeah, I would like to see to see more emails. I mean, Lola from Manchester.
Lola said it best, didn't she?
She really did, and I'm wondering if she heard this tonight or if she will listen, and I wonder how she'll feel about me picking apart her sentences.
Well, I don't think she'll have a problem. I think you did a
really
good job with it.
No, because I think she said more there than what she thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was coming from her heart and from her spirit,
yeah,
not from her mind.
Yes. Yeah, I really like the idea of what Lola said and what BJ just said is really, really true. There's so much that this show is, the focus of it is for people to experience Him, not us. And we're just here to, as just to pass along a message.
Right.
And what happens when you begin to sense that peace and love like Lola did?
It's automatic.
It is automatic.
She says, I don't have the words for it. I can't explain it, but I can feel it.
Yeah.
That is grace incarnate.
Personified. It really is. It is the awareness of God. And folks, this is exactly what this show is endeavoring to do. And look at this for just a second. We've got just a moment. Let me make this observation. Isn't it amazing that what we're talking about right now with Lola is something that people have an experience with a lot, but they pass over it, BJ? They don't even realize that it's there for them. But this is something that many people have had. You listen to the Word of God and there's a peace. There's something that settles down into your heart that's so wonderful. And so many miss the opportunity of acknowledging it.
They have. Folks, we ran about 10 minutes long tonight to let you have more understanding of this particular topic. If there's something that you find in Scripture that maybe you're confused about, you don't understand, or a subject matter that you'd like us to discuss, email the show. You can find us on the contact page. This is The Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Hockaday. I thought it was a good show. Went well.
Thanks, BJ.
Not a problem. I can't build fence or clean stalls in the dark, so I thought I'd just swing by and say hi. Folks, have a good week.
Have
Spread
a great
the word
week.
About the show. Good night.
Good night.